I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. Welcome to this special Friday with Friends edition of More Than a Song. With me today is my longtime friend, Keith Farron, here to chat about his faith, his resources, and of course, God's word. Welcome, Keith.
Thanks for having me. So good to see you again.
So good to see you. You know, our story started 10 years ago. Wow. When you agreed to chat with me on the phone regarding launching my podcast. And I was a stranger. We had no acquaintances in common, but when I reached out, you were very generous with your time. You've offered support. I've tried to pay that forward through my podcasting career as people have reached out to me. I always think of how special that was. And I've said it before, but thank you for your generosity. That ripple effect, it's still echoing out. We're still here. So thank you so much.
Oh yeah, you've taken podcasting far beyond anything I ever did with it. So that's amazing. I just love watching your journey for sure.
I do love that. That's part of our story together, and it's where it started, but it has continued to grow throughout the years. But I'm super excited to have you on today, just because I can't wait to dive into some of the ways that you can help my listeners fall in love with God's word. But first, as a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. Why do you read the Bible?
Simplest way I can put it is I read the Bible to hang out with Jesus. Mm-hmm. That it's you'll hear throughout our conversation that the shift was made for me when I was kind of in my mid-20s from reading the Bible informationally to reading it relationally. So much of what I was taught about Bible study methods and processes and habits all circled around some way of gleaning information about God, whether it's information to apply to life or even information about how much he loves us or whatever else. What's the truth? What's the application point? Which are all good questions. But I just found that when I shifted to reading the Bible to just be with him, that there were days when he taught me something and days when he encouraged me and days when he challenged me. And there were days when I learned a lot of information and there are days when I just hung out with him, just like you would if we were hanging out together. Yeah. And so I do it to hang out with Jesus.
That's something that I've really connected with you on over the years, both just as, again, as friends, but also just following your resources and reading your books and watching your videos and doing all those things. That's something that really resonates with me. And I hope that anybody watching or listening today can know that that's possible. And I think that for some people, they may never have considered it before, you know? And so, thank you for saying it in such a beautiful way. We do share a passion, a love of God's word. You often say that your goal is to move people from should to want when it comes to reading and studying and understanding, applying, and I love this part, enjoying God's word. And so what kind of brought you to this point in your walk with God, this point in your, I don't know if we call it a career or a ministry, but it's definitely your full-time effort. What's brought you to this point in your walk with God?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was one of those kids born on Saturday, church on Sunday, just grew up in church, grew up in youth group, going to summer camp and became a youth pastor and then took people on mission trips. And I mean, so I loved Jesus from a very young age, but I found that the Bible was the one aspect of my journey with Jesus that was much more of a should than a want. It was something I always felt like I should be doing more and I should know the Bible more and I should memorize more verses and I should be more consistent. And I wanted to sing and worship and I wanted to talk about the Bible and I wanted or talk about faith and I wanted to make a difference in the community, but the Bible just remained a should. And then I'm happy to tell you the long version or the short version of the story, but it was April 18th of 1996 that I saw a guy named Bruce Kuhn, who had been in the Broadway cast of Les Mis, and he had memorized the Gospel of Luke. And a friend of mine had invited me to come, and I went and thought it would be fascinating for about 10 minutes, but I also sat in a place where I thought I could sneak out. after a little while, because I just thought, I mean, I was a full-time youth pastor. I love Jesus, but I thought somebody quoting the Bible, I'm just picturing myself as a frightened second grader standing up in front of big church and quoting John 3:16 as fast as I could to get off the stage, kind of a thing, because that was our memory verse for the week or whatever. And I just remember just feeling like, okay, I've heard this phrase, the living word of God, my whole life. That was the first night that it went from being a phrase to a reality. And I just saw it come alive, and it was amazing. And I ended up having lunch with Bruce the next day, and he challenged me to soak in bigger chunks of scripture. He's just like, what if instead of memorizing this verse or that verse or studying this little piece or that little piece, he said, what if you just took a book of the Bible and you soaked in it until you knew it? You just hung out there until you know it. And when you know it, you move on. And I went, what? And I've heard of studying the Bible and memorizing verses, but I hadn't heard of soaking in it and hanging out with it. And so I just spent that summer of 93 reading Philippians every day. And I had been raised a chapter a day was what I was supposed to read. And so I had read Philippians, but it was a 4-day deal because there are four chapters. But dawned on me after a few days that I was reading this letter the way that you would actually read a letter, right? I sat down. It takes 15 minutes to read Philippians. It's not long. I just read it for 15 minutes. And the next day I read it again. And the next day I read it again. And I got to the end of the summer and I understood it better than any book I'd ever read. I remembered it more than any book I'd studied, and I enjoyed it more. And I went, okay, this is now how I approach the Bible. And so in 94, I just said, I want to know the life of Jesus like this. And so I just read the Gospel of John. Now I couldn't, the Gospel of John is about, it takes a little bit less than 2 hours. If you're just reading it the way you would read a novel or something like that, it takes about an hour and 50 minutes, hour and 45 minutes. And so I wasn't reading the entire Gospel of John every day, but I was just sitting down and reading for 20, 30 minutes, sometimes 45 minutes. I think there were a couple times where I sat down for 2 hours and read the whole thing, but not most days. But I would certainly be reading the whole thing every week or something like that. And I just read it and read it and read it and read it. And then started, a couple of years later, actually in 96, so 28 years ago, I got up on a stage at a church here in North Seattle, and I presented the Gospel of John the way that Bruce had done with Luke. And it was just word for word what was on the page. And because I knew it now, it was a part of me. I hadn't just memorized it, I had internalized it. As you know, we've talked about many, many times over the last 10 years that I don't use the word memorization. I use the word internalization because I think we should know the word, not just know the words. And so
That's
that
good.
that I thought, I quite honestly, I just thought that I would do some Gospel of John presentations now and again while I was a youth pastor, because I loved hanging out with students and I still do. But it was something that things just grew over 96 and 97 and 98 to the point where I couldn't effectively do church-based youth ministry anymore, because I was just traveling too much now to speak, and that just kicked me into that. But for me, the storytelling, the biblical story, the word for word storytelling, was always a launch pad for a conversation about how to read and study the Bible in such a way that we re understand it, we remember it, and we enjoy it. Because I find when we understand what we're reading and we remember what we're reading and we enjoy what we're reading, then consistency is just a byproduct of that. Instead of consistency being the goal, it's just, if you have something that you that is just to think of a hobby. I mean, if you love to cook, you don't have to force yourself to cook. If you love to go for bike rides, you don't have to force yourself to go for a bike ride. But most people haven't found a way of studying the Bible that they enjoy. They just believe that they should do it more. And so that what started as me just presenting the Gospel of John a handful of times over the course of 1996 has turned into me doing somewhere between 50 and 80 live events a year, combined with the Bible study online membership, the Bible Life community, combined with writing books, combined with creating courses. To how many different ways can I use to help people move from should to want when it comes to reading and studying the Bible? So.
I just had a listener from a foreign country. He's from Qatar or Qatar. How do you say that? I don't know. Anyway, he emailed and he basically said the same thing. Like, I read and I don't remember. and I'm so frustrated, and I know I should, or like I really want this. This is something that I really want. What would you say to him? What would be your advice to him as he is wanting to move from that should to want?
Yeah, well, I mean I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version, because as you know, I've written whole books on this topic of how to study the Bible and remember it and understand it and all that. But it boils down to I'll give a few different tips. One is to read in a physical Bible, and I'm not just saying that because I'm old school or whatever, but one of the reasons that we don't understand what we read and we don't remember what we read is because we're distracted while we read. And as you know, there is nothing more distracting than holding something in our hand that can do a million things.
Right.
Right? If the only time we're reading the Bible is on our phone or on our tablet, then we also use our phone and our tablet to watch videos, text friends, look up movie times, to look up a recipe, do business on, find websites, do, I mean, we use it for social media, all the different things that we use it for. And there's no way that you're going to just read something and not have distractions. I mean, our minds are distracted enough. Something that can, if this can do 1,000 things, this can only do one, right? It's just and so you're not going to have a notification pop up while you read this, right?
Right.
And so it's something where I find that when we're not distracted, that helps with understanding and memory. When we are seeing something on a page, because our brains love location. I mean, I think you and I have talked about this, but my background, my degree is not in Bible. My actual degree is in psychology, and my master's is in counseling. And I've always been fascinated with brain science and how learning happens, how memory happens. That's always been one of my passions and hobbies, as well as fields of study. And so it was something that I realized when we combine how we read the Bible with how God's wired our brains, we understand it more and we remember it better. And so one of those is getting distractions while we're learning something. Second is our brains love location. Our brains love to see something in the same place in the same way. And so in this Bible, if this is the Bible that I was reading, chapter 5 of Ezekiel is always going to be right there. And
Right.
the font is always going to be the same color, and it's always going to be the same size, and it's always going to be in the same spot, and that aids understanding and memory. And so I would say that reading something in a physical Bible, reading it out loud, because our brains also recall a lot more of what we see and hear. So if we hear it at the same time we're seeing it, we're reinforcing it. It doesn't take longer. We just are reinforcing that. So that is one. And then another tip. And then another is to stay in the same spot. Now, I definitely believe that there are times when we need to do like a reading of the whole Bible, or we're doing a New Testament overview, or we're reading the gospel straight through, or something like that. But when we're talking about wanting to understand and remember, I'm not the one who made this up. Repetition is the mother of all learning. I don't remember who first said it, but I've heard a million people say it over my lifetime, that repetition is the mother of all learning. We think of the movie lines, the songs that you can sing along with. You probably didn't try to memorize any of them, but you probably heard that song about 10, 20, 30 times, and you were singing along. You saw a funny movie, and you can just quote the lines to it, and because you watched it over and over again. And so it's one of those things where if you take a physical Bible, read it out loud multiple times, you will understand it more, and you will start to retain and remember more without using any other memorization techniques. I find when we start with, I mean, there are definitely some techniques to help us remember details and lists and retain and how to review. I mean, there's all that, and that's valuable. But oftentimes, I think the reason we don't remember something for the long haul is we start with those methods rather than starting with the big picture, starting with the understanding, starting with, and you've heard me use the analogy, we need to watch the movie before we study the scenes.
Yeah.
And
I've
that,
used that so many times, and I
yeah.
always try to give you credit because it was so mind-blowing for me. And it's so interesting because And I've heard you give the read the physical Bible advice before, but I was brought back to when I was in high school. I did what was called Bible quiz. And so we would memorize whole books of, and I'm going to say memorize because I don't think it was internal. It was really more about competition than it was about loving Jesus. I hate that, but it's true. But we would memorize whole books of the Bible, but they would give us in the King James Version, everyone. Anyway, they would give us a pre-printed version of it. And we were supposed to, we did certain things like we highlighted parenthetical statements in a particular color, or we, you know, marked it up and annotated it in a certain way for memory recall, because to win in Bible quiz, I mean, you literally, like if it was quote, whatever verse, you couldn't say or anything. I mean, you had to start at the beginning and go to the end. And so anyway, it was, but you're right. All I knew where those words were on that page, that physical, I could picture it even now, the physical page where that parenthetical statement was in Galatians or, you know, whatever. And so, and that's been a hot minute. So you're right. I mean, there's something that happens neurologically. I love
Oh, for
that.
sure.
Okay, so same kind of thing, but maybe more of a philosophical answer. Just recently visited with some college age girls, had them over to eat taco soup and talk about the Bible. That was so fun. And I know it was so fun. It was so fun.
I
But and they were super great, to be really honest. But a couple of them really kind of grew up like us, like in the church, and had a lot of exposure. Some of them were, you know, preachers' kids, or maybe their grandfather was a preacher or something like that. And so they just had on went to Christian school, you know, things like that, where they had ongoing exposure to scripture. And the requirement over time was to memorize verses. So memorize for Sunday school, or memorize for Bible class, or, you know, memorize for, you know, family devotions, whatever reason.
Right.
And so it doesn't, it feels like a, how can you help them, or what advice could you give to help them reframe the idea of committing God's word to memory in a new way?
I've got two answers. One is really around purpose, and one is around practice. And from a purpose standpoint, remembering that whether it is a verse or it's a paragraph or it's a chapter or it's a book, if our purpose is twofold. One, keeping that relational piece in mind that long after you've quoted it to a Sunday school teacher, or you've quoted it at a Bible quiz event, or you've quoted it to because your Christian school required it for that month or whatever it is, long after that, you're going to be in a relationship with Jesus. And to remember that hiding those words in your heart is part of how I think the Holy Spirit taps into that's hidden in us to bring his thoughts and his, to our minds, which then is the second piece of that is so much in Scripture talks about the renewing of our minds. And I find that in the church, we talk a lot about loving God with our heart and our soul and our strength. And we don't talk a lot about the mind because it sounds a little too pop psychology-ish woo-woo. And yet Jesus talked about the mind, Paul talked about the mind, Peter talked about the mind, and about renewing the mind, about loving God with our mind, about the thoughts that what we dwell on, what we meditate on. That idea of meditating on Scripture is woven throughout the Old Testament into the New. It's so in there that I think that part of having the truths of Scripture being what is renewing our mind, as Paul puts it in Romans 12, that do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, the transformation only happens when we renew our mind, which the very definition of renew is not something that you do once, right? It's a continual, if you're renewing something and then renewing something and then renewing, I mean, it's something you've got a Netflix subscription that renews and you didn't just pay it last month. And then why did my Netflix turn off? Well, because you didn't renew it. And you didn't renew it next month, and you didn't renew it next month. And I think that so some of that is from a purpose standpoint, but then also from a practice standpoint, I encourage people, whether they are internalizing a verse or a paragraph or a chapter or a book, I really encourage them, read it over and over again out loud, physical Bible, the whole thing that I've already talked about, until you can say it in your own words. If your starting point is getting the words in the right order, you will not remember it as long as if your starting point is understanding. And I remember that first day that I had lunch with Bruce after I saw him do Luke. And I mean, I hadn't memorized any Bible verses in probably 10 years at that point. And I'm having lunch with him and I'm like, how in the world did you learn the entire Gospel of Luke? You know, I'm like, is that really possible? Or were you, did you have a teleprompter I didn't know about or what it was floating? But I asked him how he did it. And he said something that was so simple, it was profound. And that is, he said, memorize the story first and then use the words on the page to tell the story. And that, to me, that one sentence shaped my whole internalization process. Whether you're, you know, again, whether you're just trying to learn a couple of verses that make up a paragraph in the middle of Ephesians 3, or you're trying to learn all of Ephesians 3, or you're trying to learn all of Ephesians, that the idea of reading it out loud over and over again until you can just tell it to somebody. If you could just tell somebody, hey, here's what Ephesians 3 is about. And you walk through it and you can say it in your own words and you don't leave out very many details, then your brain is probably ready to start shaping that with the words on the page.
All right, well, tell me a little bit about, so we talked a little bit before we hit record about this journey that's taking you to being really consistent on your YouTube channel. You are your Bible coach. Tell me a little bit about your YouTube channel and what that how that has kind of come about and what your kind of hope is moving forward.
There's a couple years ago, I heard there's a guy named Sean Cannell who used to be on staff at a church actually just north of me in Seattle. And now he spent the last probably 5 or 6 years really coaching people. He's become one of the leading YouTube coaches as far as people starting and of a channel. And he's just fantastic. And I was watching a training of his and just kind of in passing, one of the statements he made caught me. And it was, he just asked the question, when was the last time that you looked at a social media post that was more than 2 months old? And I couldn't think of one. And then he said, when was the last time you watched a YouTube video that was more than 2 years old? And I said,
This
probably
morning.
yesterday,
Yeah, this
right?
morning. Yeah.
And he just said the longevity of YouTube video answers a specific question that people have. Like, I'll take an example. I have a YouTube video on there, what's called What's the Best Bible Translation for Beginners? Well, people search on what's the best Bible translation for beginners?
Right.
And so if I'm answering it and I've done it in a way that's helpful and clear and all that kind of stuff, it's not just
Sure.
promoting something, then there's going to be somebody 3 years from now who types that in. So I started recording more intentional, specific videos. And then last fall, I just decided, you know what? I'm going to make a list of the questions that I've been asked. Now that I've been teaching people this, how to study and read the Bible for, I can't believe, 28 years, like there are questions I get asked all the time. How is the Bible organized? How did we get it in the English from the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic? What are the best translations? Where do I start if I'm a beginner? All these different things. And so I made a list of questions and narrowed it down to like 15 to 20 that I've been asked at least 50 times in person. And so there's a Bible study for beginners is a playlist that is on my YouTube channel.
That's wonderful.
And that people can go to and they can just walk through.
Can you share one of your favorite habits, maybe beyond the ones that we've already talked about, that we could incorporate into our time in God's Word?
I would say that one of mine is to have the, if it's going to be taking any random passage of scripture. So for me, I like to either do what I call a rapid Bible read through, which is reading through the whole Bible in 6 months or less. And no, that's nowhere near as much as people think it is. They think, well, you do 2 hours a day. And I'm like, no, that's about 25 minutes a day. So either doing a big watch the movie overview, or I like to hunker down in a book, like spend 2 to 3 months soaking in Ephesians or Colossians or First Peter or something like that. But there are times when I'm in between studies. I know that I'm going to be starting something in a week, and so I take some random passages. I've started getting in the habit of asking four different questions when I approach a random passage of scripture. And the first question is, what does this passage say about who God is? And then the second is, what does this passage say about what God has done? And then the third is, what does this passage say about who I am because of who God is and what God has done? So keeping the focus in the right place. And then my fourth question has changed. It used to be, what is my application? But now I've changed that to be, what is my response? Because I find that, again, that idea of relational Bible study rather than informational, when I was looking for an application point, I was kind of looking for that nugget of truth. What is it that I can apply? What can I do and learn and know? And I found that, well, sometimes my response was just to sit in silence. Sometimes my response was worship. Sometimes my response was to apply something. Sometimes my response was to remember the information that I've learned. Sometimes the response was to just be grateful that God, that this passage I just read in scripture was about somebody just as messy as I am. And just be
Right.
grateful that God still uses messy people, so I have a shot. And so I think that when I shifted my thinking from what is my application to what is my response, that sometimes that response was application, and sometimes that response was worship or silence or gratitude or whatever, that wasn't what I would call an application.
My listeners love Christian music. So, is there a song that is especially meaningful to you right now?
Can I give you two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I just had a chance to lead worship at my, I don't get a chance to lead music at my home church very often anymore, but I did just this last Sunday and led and taught for the first time. A song that came out probably a few months ago, called "You've Already Won" by Shane and Shane.
I love them. Okay.
So they have a song, "You've Already Won," and that to me is just, it's just, he says, I'm fighting a battle that you've already won. Kind of this remembering what God has done leads us to live with more boldness now, and freedom and grace and mercy and humility as we realize what God's already done. So it's a that's an amazing one. And then there's one that I honestly don't know if it's only come out in the last couple of weeks or if I've just only heard it in the last couple of weeks, but have you heard the new song by Benjamin William Hastings called "Abandoned"?
No, but
Amazing.
I've used one of his other songs. It's
Yeah.
good. Okay.
Oh my goodness. Yeah,
I'm gonna check it out.
his newest song, "Abandoned." It just kind of just the way that he opens it up with, now, how can this really be possible that I gave you my worst and you gave me your blood? That this idea of this is not a fair exchange.
Right.
I've given you everything that is bad of me, and you've given me yourself. And so my only response is that I can be deeply, wholeheartedly, what he calls, don't care who sees it, abandoned.
Well, thank you for sharing those. I've thoroughly enjoyed spending time with you. It's always fun. I love that we've been able to do this over the last, I would say, few years, but it's really been a decade. That's crazy.
Right. Which is
But
weird
if
because you and I are still both in our 30s, right? I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
forever, forever, yeah. But if you want to get to know Keith better, you can go to michellenezat.com/KeithFerrin, and I'm going to have links to all of his social accounts there. I want you to follow him. He does great reels on Instagram. I watch you all the time. I love those. And then if you just want to search for it yourself, it's at Keith Ferrin. I will also include a link to his website where you can find all of his books, all of his audio resources. We didn't even scratch the surface of what he has to offer. I mean, his online courses, including his most popular relational Bible study. I have actually done this study and I highly recommend it. I've recommended it before. But for my listeners, for you guys watching, Keith has agreed to offer a buy one, get one free on his courses, which is super generous. Thank you so much. And a free trial of his Bible Life community for a month. So he's going to give that for 4 weeks. But if you go to michellenezat.com/KeithFerrin, those links with those discounts are going to be there. If you are subscribed to my email list, all of this information is already conveniently in your inbox. And I just want to thank you for chatting with me today, Keith. And
Pleasure.
Thank you for helping me launch this decade-long
No.
ministry, and impacting the way that I interact with scripture, both through what you've taught me and how you've supported me, professionally and as a friend. And I'm so thankful for you.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this special Friday with Friends edition of More Than a Song. Be sure to follow the podcast and subscribe to my email list at michellenezat.com to get premier notice of future special editions like this one. If you want to watch the full interview, you can catch it over on YouTube. Just search for Michelle Nezat TV. And I will be using Keith's recommended song Abandoned by Benjamin William Hastings to jump into scripture on the next episode of More Than a Song. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.